I just want to welcome you all here tonight and add my welcome. My name is Alex Van Reesen. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm really glad that you're all here tonight. This is obviously a special time for us as a church as we celebrate the birth of Jesus here on Christmas Eve. I want to especially say a thank you or a welcome to all the folks who've come from out of town that are visiting relatives or just new or exploring our church. We're really glad that you're here. This is particularly a special time because usually every Sunday we don't have the children with us, sort of the zero to fifth grade. They're off in class and they're all here with us. And I realize that one of the reasons that I think they must have lobbied to be here is because I asked my daughters a couple days ago, what do you like most about the Christmas Eve service? And they said, candle lighting. And then I thought more and I realized, oh, it's fire. So I think every little child here likes fire. And so later we will have a demonstration of fire, although it's intended to be very decent and in order. So as we light the candles as a community. Let me ask all the kids who are here tonight, all of you guys that are here, not usually in the service, I want you to think about something, and then I want you to raise your hand if you have an answer, and I'll call on you, and you can shout out your answer. I'm curious if you can think about what is the best gift that you have ever received. What is the best gift that you've ever received? Anybody got one they want to share? Right there. Jesus, your check is in the mail. Nice job. Okay, Jesus is taken. Who else wants to try? It all goes downhill from there. Who else? Where? Right here. Yes. Jesus is love. I could see we're on a theme here. Who dares to not say Jesus now? Oh, one of my children. Go right ahead. Yes. A good family. Wow. Let me just say, this is not going the way I intended it to go. I remember the first gift that I got where it really made an impression on me. And I have this indelible image in my mind. And let's just begin. It wasn't Jesus, okay? It was, I came down when I was like 12 years old, and I came downstairs, and I saw this amazing stereo waiting for me. Now, for some of you, this will, you'll have to probably ask your parents later about what some of these things are, because they don't seem to exist anymore. Some of them are things like records or cassette tapes. Maybe you've thrown some of these out of your parents' trunk of their car. But I saw this thing with two speakers, a turntable, so that it could play records. And I was ecstatic. And I was really, really happy because it had the latest electronic gadget. It was called 8-track tape. Who here remembers 8-track tape? Thank you for being willing to date yourself. Yes. Let me just tell you, this was got to go down as one of the worst technological inventions of all time. It was a tape that was as big as a sandwich. It was huge, and it only went one direction. You couldn't rewind it. You had to go all the way around to find your favorite song. So in that regard, it was good. It taught patience. But I remember, and I can still see now, what it felt like that morning when I got that stereo. Because as much as I loved that stereo and was into it, I realized that after a few months, it was no longer the thing that I was consumed by. I think for that first month or two, I would play every record over and over. I would buy records. I would listen to it. But at some point, other things came in, and eventually, a few years later, better stereos came along and it was replaced. And I think we all can relate to this in some way, can't we? We all have some gift that we can remember getting. Maybe it's something you can remember in your mind's eye that you can see. Something you got when you were a kid or adolescent, teenager, maybe even an adult. Maybe it will be something that you'll actually get tonight or tomorrow morning. Maybe it will be something that really means something to you or leaves a lasting impression. But for most of us who've experienced this, one of the things we also experience is that after some time, it sort of loses some of that initial appeal. Because usually with most of the things we get, something new comes along, something better. But even more than that, we find that we desire something else. We desire more. I remember feeling so contented, so full the moment I got that stereo, but I'm still struck to this day that it didn't last. And there really isn't anything, in one sense, that we've received that sort of doesn't eventually sort of lose its appeal. It doesn't last. I think that what's behind that, and what I realized as I thought about my own life, is that we all seem to be made with some hunger, some yearning for more. I think we'd all be honest if we were talking with one another. We'd say that we yearn for things. There's things going on in our lives now that we're waiting to happen, that we're waiting to receive, that we would like to be different. And we want to receive those things. And I think it's at Christmas that it's appropriate to really look and ask about what that deeper yearning is. For those of you who've been unable to join us over these last few weeks during Advent, we've been talking about some particular areas of life about how to have a happy Christmas, how to have a happy season, holiday. And we talked about four areas. We talked about spending less, giving more, worshiping fully, and living freely. And if you're interested in any of those, you can go on our website and you can listen to them. They're all there. But one of the things that was striking to me as I was thinking about this series and as we explored this theme was I found myself thinking, wow, has things always been this commercial? And I thought that, especially when I saw my first ad for Christmas on October 11th. I actually documented that the first Christmas ad I saw was on October 11th. I'm shooting for September next year, I think. But I realized, I thought, oh, has it always been this way? And then one night, I was watching television with my kids, and I saw a show that really shed a new light on this. Let me ask you kids out there again, what is your favorite Christmas show or video that you see on TV? What's your favorite one, Thomas? What's that? A Christmas Story. Who likes that one? You know, Red Rider. Oh, yeah, that's... Who else? What other favorite stories are there? Yes. Storybooks, okay. What other videos and other shows, Emily? Elf. Ah, yes. Good old Elf. Don't start looking for gum on the bottom of your chair. Yes. Timo. What's that? Wow, I've never heard of that one. Oh, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Sorry. Sorry, I live in a cave. Sorry about that, Timo. For some reason, I thought you said Hugo something, and then I was lost. So, all right, Megan, your last one. I didn't get that. Arthur Christmas. Thanks, brother, for helping out there. I don't know about yours. My favorite, without a question, has always been A Charlie Brown Christmas. My daughters and I, as you can tell, were watching that the other night. And as we were watching, I was struck with this picture that came up in that video, in that show. And if you haven't seen it, it's the story of the main character, Charlie Brown, who is asking the question of what's the point or the meaning of Christmas. And in particular, he's wondering why he doesn't feel very excited about Christmas. And I'm not sure when I first saw this, but I'm pretty sure I was a very young child. But I've seen it many times since, and it wasn't until I was watching it last week that I had an interesting revelation. And I want to show this scene to us now and then talk more about it.
What's going on here? What's this? Find the true meaning of Christmas when money, 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 spectacular, super colossal neighborhood Christmas lights and display contest. Lights and display contest? Oh no! My own dog gone commercial. I can't stand it. Oh!
I've been looking for you, big brother. Will you please write a letter to Santa Claus for me?
Well, I don't have much time. I'm supposed to get down to the school auditorium and direct a Christmas play.
You write it, and I'll tell you what I want to say.
Okay, shoot.
Dear Santa Claus, how have you been? Did you have a nice summer? How is your wife? I have been extra good this year, so I have a long list of presents that I want.
Oh, brother.
Please note the size and color of each item, and send as many as possible. If it seems too complicated, make it easy on yourself. Just send money. How about 10s and 20s?
10s and 20s? Oh, even my baby sister.
All I want is what I have coming to me. All I want is my fair share.
Now, I have to admit, when I saw this movie 2 weeks ago, I was shocked. I don't know if you know this, but this cartoon was made in 1965. That's when it was created and first shown on television. And it got me thinking that while it's super funny, I mean, I love Sally. She's like a little female Donald Trump, right? Is that what it shows is to us is that while I'm tempted to think that as time has changed, certain things have gotten worse, certain things aren't the way they used to be, I also realize watching this that some things have just not changed. Some issues are with us still. And one of them in particular is the fact that Christmas, which is supposed to be a celebration, is supposed to be a time of thinking about the birth of Jesus, and it's being turned into a financial transaction. I think we see this so powerfully in this video. And it's supposed to be a time where we're celebrating, where we're rejoicing, where we're receiving more from Jesus. I think Charlie Brown totally gets this. If you get a chance to watch the whole video, you should. Charlie Brown is sort of our modern existentialist thinker. He wanders around trying to figure out what's going on. And in another scene, he seeks help from the modern sort of realm of his friend Lucy, who has a little booth that says psychiatrist, 5 cents. And she helps him realize that what he needs is something to throw himself into. He needs a job. And so she gives him one. She realizes that they have a play that they're trying to do, and they need a director. And he's so excited at this because he realizes, wow, something to give my life meaning, something to give myself to. And so he does it and soon realizes what a completely thankless and pointless job it is. He despises the whole experience, and he's at the end of his rope. And then finally, he goes out to get a Christmas tree, thinking that maybe a Christmas tree will help pull this whole play together. And he comes back with this pathetic little Christmas tree and is mercilessly ridiculed. I want to take a minute, and I want to show you this scene.
We're back.
Boy, are you stupid, Charlie Brown. What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you he'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right. You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a tree!
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God,
and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
In the midst of all the commercialism that he's experienced, in the midst of all his disappointment with the path that he's chosen, not panning out for him, in the midst of a very real life crisis and critical moment, the true meaning of Christmas is made clear. And it really comes out. You feel almost like the whole vibe of this show changes when Linus recites this passage from the book of Luke. It has this incredible effect on Charlie Brown and on the rest of the show and how it finishes out. As I've listened to this over and over, and as I've read the passage, I've been struck by three things that I wanted to share with you briefly for us to reflect on at this time of Christmas. First, that Jesus' birth is a surprise. It strikes me that this angel comes to these shepherds in a field where they're not intending to see him. It's not clear why the angel comes to these shepherds, and it's very clear, though, that they were not expecting to experience this. The angel just breaks into their world. It also strikes me that the scene we just watched was like Jesus breaking into Charlie Brown's world. Could you believe how vicious those kids were? I watch videos now with my kids. No one ever talks that way in videos now. That must have really changed. I mean, I can't believe how that went on. How long? "You're the stupidest person on earth, Charlie Brown. You have no reason to live." I mean, it's clear that in contrast to that, they read this passage and you see the meaning of Christmas. Whether those of us here tonight have known Jesus for a long time or not, I believe that Jesus wants to surprise each of us at Christmas. He wants us to see something new about him, or experience something fresh, or appreciate something differently than we've seen before. We should not be surprised if in some way God reveals himself or surprises us this Christmas. As a matter of fact, I think we should actually ask for it and keep our eyes open and see what we see. The second thing is, Jesus' birth is worthy of celebration. When the angels come down, it says, they come upon him and they shone around them. And it says they were sore afraid. I don't know about you, but I would imagine that would be a pretty scary event. When beings start flying down from space, singing or talking, I imagine they were pretty scared, but it gets turned around pretty quick because they say they've come with good news, good tidings. And it seems that the shepherds understand right away that this person that they're talking about, this Jesus, has come for their good and has good for them. And not just for them, but for all mankind. And then all of a sudden it says that this host, which just means a lot of them, come and join this angel, and they start to sing and praise God in this amazing way. I bet it was a marvelous and glorious sight. I don't even know what to compare it to. I couldn't even think of anything on earth that would somehow rival this. But what I am sure of is that because this is how the angels worship once they had announced the news of Jesus' birth, that this is the right way to respond when celebrating Jesus' arrival in this world. In a few minutes, we're going to have the opportunity to listen to music, to sing, to light candles together, and to symbolize this event that the shepherds experienced in this field. I encourage you to enter into the celebration. Whether it's tonight, whether it's here, whether it's with your family later, whether it's tomorrow morning, there is an invitation being given by God to celebrate this birth, this unique birth among all births. And the right reaction, the right response is to celebrate, is to welcome it. And the reality is that maybe some of us will be hesitant. Maybe there will be blocks. Maybe we'll think, "Well, I don't know." Or, "I don't know if I can even feel that way or receive or celebrate God." I want to encourage you in the time that follows to lay that in front of God. I encourage you to, even while we have some special music, to listen and to even be willing to say to God, "Here's the block I have to really celebrating and worshiping you fully. Please remove it. I encourage you to let go of those hesitations and distractions tonight so that you can celebrate the birth of Jesus. The final thing I just want to say is that Jesus' birth has to be experienced for oneself. I know I just said that the disciple or the shepherds, that the right reaction to the news that Jesus is born is to celebrate. But I want to point out that in this passage, that's not what the shepherds do. Do you notice that it doesn't say they worshiped and praised God? What happens is the angels do, and then they give a proof to the shepherds and they say, hey, go to Bethlehem, see for yourself, and then you'll know that we're right. And they do. In the next few lines, they go to Bethlehem, they see that Jesus was born, they tell Mary and some of the other folks that are there, and then they worship and praise God. What's interesting about that is that it seems like one of the key things is the angels and God understand how people are wired. They understand that the shepherds need to experience it for themselves. They get that they're not just supposed to jump to and worship just because the angels showed up. They're supposed to worship because they've seen that what they've said is true, and then they throw themselves fully into it. So during the rest of the evening, I want to say that there's some of us here who probably have experienced God at many times in our lives or feeling that now. Or many of or some of us who haven't at all. Maybe we're feeling especially dry. I want to encourage you to say yes, to open yourself and to be willing to even ask God, hey, what can you show me? What do I need to see for myself in order to worship you and celebrate what's happening in your birth? Notice that the shepherds have to take a step and act. What's interesting, I think, for us tonight is whether that means that during the time of music, you say something to God, or whether it's maybe you talk with someone that you came with tonight. Maybe you even decide to come back and visit our church again to hear more and to celebrate with us on a Sunday, because we're trying to figure out what it means to celebrate and rejoice in Jesus. My hope for you tonight and in the days to come is that you would experience for yourself the truth and the beauty and the presence of God, so that you could worship like these shepherds do with the angels. I just want to remind you and say one more time that you found on your seat there was a bulletin, and in that was a card. And some of you here tonight may want to have a conversation with someone, or may want to know more about our church, or how you could even have that discussion with God about what does it mean to experience Him for myself? And I just want to encourage you, if that's true, to fill out that card, to leave it on your chair or put it in the box in the back. And we would love to get together with you. Tonight is a night of celebration. Perhaps we'll find ourselves surprised by something new. Perhaps we'll see in the celebration of the angels a call to deeper praise and worship in our own life. And hopefully each one of us will experience Jesus and celebrate His birth for ourselves this Christmas. Perhaps like Charlie Brown, we'll see for the first time the true meaning of Christmas. What comes incredibly clear, whether you're looking at the video or you're reading this passage, is that Christmas is about the time that God became flesh, that He became real, and He was born and lived among us. And He came as a Savior to save, to rescue, to bring peace and goodwill to us, but also to the world. And so we join with those shepherds, those many years ago, in witnessing and participating in the celebration of Jesus' birth. And I close with the passage, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Will you please join me in prayer? Jesus, we acknowledge and we celebrate that this is a momentous time in human history and in our lives, that you were born, that God chose to reveal himself in the flesh on earth. And while that happened so many years ago, we know that this Christmas it is your desire that you would be born again, born anew in our lives. That we would experience you in a fresh and new and deeper way. God, we want to have hearts full of celebration and rejoicing that you have come. Please remove the obstacles and free us and liberate us to give ourselves freely. Show us what we need to see in order to worship you for ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen.